But as we look at this day, it's a very important day for the church. This is, in scriptures in the Bible, this is actually when the birth of the church happened. Because when the power of the Holy Spirit came into that upper room, and then they went out and began to share the good news and the gospel message that Jesus was all about, that's when things began to really multiply and began to expand. Here again, you know, you think of that, like how the enemy thought he had it. He had Jesus on the cross. He was dead. Ha ha! The enemy has won. But all it did is that he played right into the hands of God, because what they thought they had put into the ground actually was one of those things that caused it to develop and fulfill what God had already planned and ordained to go forth. And so we find that today of the power of that going forth and that of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. But the Holy Spirit, and Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And we find a lot of it, and that's where Book of Acts, and we find the Book of Acts written by that of Luke. It mirrors so much what Luke wrote in Luke that they, most scholars put it that way, that they believe Luke wrote that of Acts. But in Acts, it was, you know, an Acts, and it was action put to the things of what God had planned, really, you know. And in our lives today, the churches need to be active. You know, in our own personal life, I need to be active with that of God. And to be fulfilling the things that He would have for me to do, I realize that I can't do it on my own, but it is through that of Him, the Spirit in us. I just hope and believe, I think people that are here, that you understand the importance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But anyway, let's kind of look at a few things here. Pentecost Sunday, that's where we're at. And we look at where Jesus has promised to send the Holy Spirit. I will kind of just go through some scriptures and text and read and maybe expound a little bit where we find time to expound or what the Spirit kind of leads us out to share with. But it's going to be more or less to just kind of walk you through scriptures to see the importance of the Holy Spirit, to see why Jesus spoke so highly of the Holy Spirit, and why God had that Holy Spirit and the plan of the Trinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we look at that. We're in John 15:26, and if you got something to write on, feel free to do that. Again, we'll record this, or it's recorded, and we'll send it on the website as well if you want to go back and refer to it for notes or whatever, for just getting scriptures. But John 15:26, Jesus has promised to send the Holy Spirit. And I find it so refreshing. Hallelujah. What Jesus said He would do, what did He do? He did. What God says He'll do, God does. You know, I find peace in that. I find strength in that. I find comfort in that. And I find my direction in my life in that, because what God has said in His Word helps me on my path in my life. But in John 15:26, it says, "But when the Helper," and some of this, a lot of this has come out of the Amplified, and we'll kind of expand on that. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father," this is Jesus talking, "and that is the Spirit of Truth, who comes from the Father, He will testify and bear witness about Me." Now, when we look at this word helper or comforter, we can look at that as a comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. That is that of the Holy Spirit. You can look at that word helper, and in the Greek, that helper or comforter comes out of a word that's called parakletos, which is meaning of one to come alongside to help. And see, that's why it was so important for Jesus. Didn't He say that it is advantageous, or it's to your advantage that I go, so that He can come, that of the Holy Spirit? Jesus says, "I go." Now, we are actually Pentecost Sunday. We look at this, you could count back 50 days and you would find you're landing on what? Easter, Resurrection Sunday. So we find that He rose from the tomb. He walked upon this earth 40 days, as evident, to speak to His disciples, to share to a multitude, to finally say a few things. And then He did tell those disciples that, "I must go, but do not go out of Jerusalem until the power has come upon you." Again, He's instructing the disciples that if you go out on your own, even though you've been with Me, you will not have the power to fulfill what you need to do. And so for us individually, for us as a church, it's important to know that anything that we do without the power of the Holy Spirit will not last, will not be sustained, and may not even be accepted. Now, You might say, well, yeah, but if you got the power of the Spirit and you're still going out and people aren't accepting it, well, there's a blindness out there. But it's only through the Holy Spirit that people receive the things of God. Because our spirit man has to be willing to open up to at least hear this message that Jesus so much spoke about. And so there's a lot of deception, a lot of things being deceived, the hardness of the heart, the blinded mind, the seared things, all the stuff in our mind. So that's why we pray for the Holy Spirit, and we'll find a little bit later in our scriptures here about helping us to witness. But we find that as I am so thankful that I got somebody that's standing right by me today, aren't you? Somebody is standing by me. I can't see or touch him, but by faith and by the Spirit, my spirit, I just know that God is here by Spirit by me. That when we invite him into his service, that he comes where he's invited. You know, God is a gentleman. Jesus never forced his way other than into those religious people. But in the people that had sin and all that, he never forced his way into their lives to call out their sin. But they were drawn to him. It's almost like north and south, a magnet, you know. And people of sin would come to him, but they began to understand that he could help them in their sin. He had something that they did not have in the religious ardor of the synagogues and the teachers and the Pharisees and all these people that they knew of God. They taught of God. They knew all the commandments and things. But if you know something but you don't live them and put them in your life fully, you're not really gaining anything from them to a point. And so they knew that Jesus had something. And so they were drawn to him like that of a magnet. And we know different ones that were there that would cry out to him. And he would ask them, what do you want from me? Or others, he would say, it's by your faith you have been healed. Or whatever the case might be. But we find a lot of that is the healings and the things that took place. They were there, and it took that person to make action upon that, to step on faith, to say that if I can just merely touch his garment, I will be made well. And the power that came out of that, and Jesus felt that virtue when that lady touched his cloak. And so today, with us on Pentecost Sunday, to have the Holy Spirit in us, it's not to haunt it and say, look at me, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, dun-da-da. But it's to go out in love and peace and comfort. And I believe people will be drawn to you. And you probably have found that already in your life. Terry, you shared many things about when you had your shop there in that Waukesha area there, Waukesha. It's like, I don't know why, it's like a magnet, wasn't it? People came in, it's like, oh my gosh, you know. You didn't have to put a thing out there to say, hey, It was an interesting, and she's going to share her testimony one of these times. I don't know if it's a testimony, but it's kind of like her life, her testimony. When things get a little bit more ramped up for services and all, I'd really love to have her share. She could go on for a couple hours, I'm sure. And so it's an amazing thing. But I believe the Spirit of God was drawing these people into that place for her to tenderly talk to them, to show love to them, to help them understand some of the things maybe that they're in and the things and the benefits and the love of God to help them. And so for us today, that's what we need, working in our lives. I don't really want to hit people over the head about their sins, because you know what? You know, when you point to somebody, you got more fingers pointed back at you. You know, Tim's got to worry about Tim. I got to work on myself, even in this day and age of myself. But I want the Holy Spirit to work on them as well as he's working on me. And if it's requiring of that to draw them to me or to you or because whatever is developing relationally wise, then the Spirit will give us and we'll find scriptures of that. He will give us the things to say. See, we don't have to worry and think we've got to memorize this whole Bible, because you might memorize the King James, but they don't understand King James. You might need to memorize the easy read version for them. You might need to memorize New Living Testament. There might be those that you need to amplify. Could you imagine that, you know? No. As you learn and around the scriptures, they'll be there. You can read them, and that's where we find the Holy Spirit will draw those things out of you to share, and you don't even know that you're actually sharing scriptures sometimes. But the thing that we've got to realize, what Jesus said, is the Spirit of truth. It is so important today for people to hear the truth. It's a sad thing to think that some churches, they're not sharing the truth. They're choosing and deciding what to share with the people to keep them dependent upon the church. Don't ever be dependent upon Harvester's Church. Don't ever be dependent upon me. you be dependent upon God, be dependent upon Jesus, and be dependent upon what? The Holy Spirit. To talk, to teach, to show, to enlighten. And we come together as a corporate body, we encourage one another, and we kind of feed off of one another, you know, and you start talking to somebody of the values of God. Have you guys, is it just me, or when you start talking to somebody in regards to your relationship or God and the things that you've seen or they see, is that like a five-minute conversation? I've never found it that way. I have found it to go many, many minutes later and hours at times. So many times I got to put my brakes on and say, if you need to go, go. But they don't go, so I keep sharing. Like, okay. But the truth, that's what we need to hear, and that's what the Holy Spirit is about. He did send it on the Spirit on Pentecost. Now, you know, we know as the scriptures in Acts, you know, that's the powerful thing there, Acts 1. We find where Jesus spoke of in chapter 1 of Acts, because he said, after being assembled together, this is Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. He was telling them all of these things. And so they go together, they get into that upper room. We get into Acts 1 and 9, and now Jesus ascends into heaven, okay, and that's where the ascension, 40 days he was on earth. He said, it's time for me to go, but don't go out of Jerusalem until the power has come upon you. So Jesus ascends to heaven to take the rightful place at the right hand of God the Father, which was already pre-discussed, and we already know that, for he says, I go to the Father. And then we find that there's like a 10-day period, and the disciples are there to themselves. But what did they do? Thank God they were obedient, and they went back to where he told them to go. And they waited, and they waited. And then, in 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, verse 13, Acts 1:13, where they were staying. And Peter, James, John, the disciples, they're naming them, people there. And they were all there in one accord in prayer, it says in verse 14, and supplications with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And so they had to choose another disciple and things of that nature. So they looked at that and they got that taken care of. But then in chapter 2 of Acts, we find out when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in that place. Last week I shared upon like-mindedness, how important it is as a congregation to be like-minded in our faith and our understanding of things so that we are all on the same page to understand these things. If we are not, then it causes some kinds of just like a tilt at times. We've got to be able to, at that time as well, be patient with those that are of weaker understandings of things. For those that are stronger need to understand that they need to be helpful to those that are weak. But it's to be tender with them. It's to be sensitive to them, to say, well, this is what you need to do, and if you're not seeing it, this is what it is. And you know what? You're probably 100% right what you're saying, but the way you're saying it is not right. And really, we just need to have a like-mindedness and to begin to develop and share and build trust, build a unity, because here again, with one accord. Anything in the kingdom of God that is going to prevail, that's going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish, it's going to take what? Oneness. That's why it's sometimes disconnected when you find organizations or denominations out there that they're a oneness situation. They're Jesus only, or they're God only. You look at the Old Testament, that's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees, it was all God, you know. It's like God, Jesus, that's not the Son of God, he's just a prophet, you know. He's blasphemy. He's saying he is the Son of God. He says he's going to do these things. That's why they wanted to destroy him. The church wanted to destroy, and they did, thought they did, destroy Jesus on the cross and brought him before the council. You might find some churches out there that just are just into the Spirit, just the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said that that's the one, that's where we're at. We just need the Holy Spirit. But if the Trinity is made up of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're missing something. That's why as a church, we need to have a triune God. God is a triune God. God, you know, Jesus, the flesh, back to the Holy Spirit as Spirit. So anyway, it's important that we have that because God is in one accord. He's unified. And so his church has to be unified in these things. And we got to build upon that of God. We got to develop and understand what the purpose then of Jesus, and then we find out what the ultimate culmination of the whole thing with that of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was evident already back in the Old Testament anyway. But for the power of the Holy Spirit to come on the people, it was more so in that time of the upper room, and the Spirit then came upon them. So we find throughout scriptures that the Holy Spirit was always hovering, doing his thing, and more so after Jesus said, I must go so that he can come to lead you into all truth. Because Jesus knows that there's deceptions out there. Did you figure that out already? Deceptions? And sometimes they fall under that of a nice organization that has a nice building and may have a cross, you know, may have this, may have stained glass, may have all these things. But they can be a deception in the force that's being used as well. We've got to guard ourselves so that we don't fall in that ourselves. We got to guard ourselves so that the spirit of this world, that of the devil, doesn't come in and distort the things that I try to share here. That's why I figure, you know what, if I just stick to Scripture, there's nothing for me to distort. It's right there in black and white. It's in your Bible. It's in my Bible. I don't need to sit there and say, well, that was okay back then, but now there's this new writing that men of learned abilities have changed that, and they've made it more palatable for today or for our understanding. And when they do that, they remove a lot of what was the truth that's important for us to learn, and they begin to put man's spin on it, and pretty soon we're no longer of one accord. Acts 2:33, you will find where it says this, Acts 2:33, therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, or placed by God, it's like those sitting next to each other, you're by that person, okay, by the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this blessing which you both see and hear, that of the Holy Spirit being shared. Remember in the upper room, the people were beginning to share and speak in unknown language or tongues, and people out there thought that they were what? Drunk! Because they were babbling. You know, it's like, man, what bottle of wine were you tapping just now, you know? And it wasn't that. And you come to find out and you read those things, and it really wasn't that they were babbling just unknown words. Each one, they were they were speaking in an unknown language to them, but there was people from around the countryside that had come to Jerusalem that all of a sudden they began to hear their language being spoken by this person here that wasn't even from that country. And they began to go, this man is speaking in my language. How does he know that? That is speaking in tongues. That is how God just gives you by your tongue and loosens your tongue. And you might be up here, you know, and I tell you what, if you were probably maybe in a jungle in the Congo somewhere, that might be a language to that native tribe. You just don't know it. We've shared in the past how people have been on mission trails and mission sites, and they don't even know the dialect or the language, and all of a sudden they're given a service and something comes over them and they begin to speak in some kind of a language they don't even know. And then he spoke perfectly about that of God, of the power, of the Holy Spirit, but it was in our language. And these people go, wow, that is the power of God. That is the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. So it's not when you pray and you think I'm babbling and I don't know what I'm saying. You are praying, but it's not in English that you understand. So don't be fearful of it, and don't think like you're losing your mind. Just let your tongue go. Hallelujah. I've had more powerful prayers when I've prayed in that of my heavenly language than when I've probably have spoken in my English language to say, God, I pray for this, pray amen. Now, he heard those prayers, and that's powerful. But in the Word we find, I'm jumping around in different scriptures, and I'm not getting there yet. But we'll find in scriptures to where it says that the Holy Spirit will give you the things to say, or give you the things to pray. For when you know not how to pray, the Spirit comes upon you to help you pray. Anybody been there where you've helped somebody and you don't know how to help them? You know, my vernacular, my understanding, my thoughts of that situation, I cannot come to a cohesive focus of knowing exactly what that person needs. Oh, I know they're sick. I know this or that, or they're on their deathbed or whatever. Well, they say they're dying. Well, Lord, I'm praying for life for them. Well, what happens if it's their time to go? You know, and we start wondering and thinking and all these things. And so I've shared again and again and again after all these years. It's like, you know, you go to a hospital situation or you go to this or that and you don't know how to pray. I just begin to pray, maybe not out loud or to myself or softly, pray in the Spirit to pray for that person and just say, oh, and because when I do that, I know I'm praying the expressed divine will of God, not Tim. Because we will always fight to the nth degree to do whatever. God, do this, God, do that, God, do this, God, do that. I remember a long time back, somebody said, you know, I wonder if sometimes in our prayers of holding people here, we end up keeping them here in their misery longer than God planned for them and he was willing to take them home. But because of our prayers, he kind of let them there and suffer. Not that he allowed the suffering, but, you know, as people are praying, you know, he may be answering those prayers, but he's saying, you don't know what I have planned for them. And that's why I say, Lord, let thy will be done. Not Tim's will, not Tim's thoughts, not Tim's desires, not what I want for that person. I want that person to have life. I want that person to have this. But Lord, I want them to have what you want them to have. Because then it's perfect for them. When we get to that point, or if you get to that point of prayer and understanding, I'm going to tell you, and maybe you've already noticed this, it takes a lot of pressure off of you for interceding and praying. Early on, it might not. If you don't have that ability or that desire or that thought process, you when somebody says, could you pray for me? You might go, oh, I don't know what to pray for you about. Okay, now that you know the Holy Spirit will pray that divine will of God, yes, I will keep you in my prayers. Pray that of the Spirit of God. What better prayer than that? Amen? But Jesus is there at the right hand of God, goes on about interceding for us. We'll find that out. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Again, we've touched upon this, but he teaches in John 14:26. But the Helper, remember, the one that comes alongside, the Paracletos, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener. Yes, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. I like it hearing it from people when they go, you know, I was talking to this person, and all of a sudden I said this, and I didn't even know where that came from, but it was right out of Scripture that I read 20 years ago, or whatever the case might be. See, that's that thing. That's why I think sometimes when we get thinking about it, you know, we're kind of told to, like, read the Bible, memorize chapters, memorize verses, and put those all to heart. Yes, if you can do that. But I'm sorry, I'm a person that I can't really do a whole lot of memorization. But as far as memorizing, it wasn't one of my points. And so when we get into the things of God, we hear these things, and we might hear some people say, read this and memorize it and memorize it. And it is good and important to do. But if that puts a block between you and God because you're so focused on memorizing that verse that you're really not understanding what it's meaning, what are you gaining from it other than you might as well just, you could read the Reader's Digest or the National Geographic or whatever the case is. But I have found a lot of times now that you just read the Scriptures, meditate on them as you're going, and yes, it's okay to have some to memorization, and we all have had that, but you will find more times than not when you're in that situation that just unfolds at you, and you begin to say, okay, Lord, give me by that of the Spirit the words to say to this person. All of a sudden, that connection hits. You're plugged into the Spirit of God, and you begin to share those things out of your heart. And if it is from that of the Spirit coming through you, you're speaking exactly what that person needs to hear. Whether it's a Scripture, whether it's whatever, I don't know, the words of knowledge to say this or that or whatever, and they might say, well, how did you know I was going through that? I didn't. I just felt impressed by that of God. Evidently, God does, because he knows all things, you know. He's put us together for whatever reason. He wants to share this word with you. And those are all those things that the Spirit is drawing that person that may be lost closer to him. It's possibly that person that does have a relationship with God, but some things are going rough and it's hard and they feel like they're just not hearing or God's not hearing from them. And you as a sister or a brother in the Lord share that and it hits their spirit and it's like, huh, God is still concerned about me. Thank you for saying that. I needed to hear that. And you're going, really? That was that powerful? You know, and it might have been to you just a simple thing. So don't discredit anything that comes from that of the Spirit of God because it's to minister not to you, but to that person that you are specifically talking to or that God has brought before you. So teaching, but the Helper, the Counselor, he will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. He encourages us. We all need to be encouraged. We all need encouragement every day. Acts 9:31, and it says this, "So the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace without persecution, being built up in wisdom and virtue and faith," okay, "and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort and encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it continued to grow in numbers." So the church is developing. The church is growing all throughout this land. They enjoyed peace without persecution. So we find that he encourages us. Have you found yourself encouraged by that of the Holy Spirit? Has he encouraged you in a situation that you've gone through recently? Have you found comfort? When you find comfort, guess what? That's from God. Because I'm going to tell you, the world doesn't give you comfort much. We see more and more every year, every day, every week, less and less comfort of the world. He counsels us in John 14:16. In John 14:16, it says, "And I will ask the Father." Thank you, Jesus. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Here again, you can't reiterate it enough. A comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby. You look at all of those things. In our natural life, we go through problems and things, and we go, I need to go see a counselor. Well, okay, you may need to do that. Worldly or, you know, natural, whatever, fleshly, a counselor. You know, okay, I'm going to go to a counseling session. But we have the counselor built within us and available to us from what Jesus said, because of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that's part of his ministry, the Holy Spirit. He's a counselor. He counsels you on the things of God. He counsels you on God's Word in your life. He helps break it down. There are many things that I read in God's Word that I sometimes have a very hard time to understand. And so I need to ask God, "God, can you break it down so this mind of mine can figure this thing out?" And I believe he counsels me and he gives me another way to think about it. It's the same thing, but he helps me understand it maybe in today's light of what I understand or what I see in the natural things of what he's created. I love it when I get into that time and he begins to show me and reveals to me. you know, in the book of Acts, when they talked about the cloven tongues of fire came down over their head, I was talking to my friend this week and we were talking about the Pentecost and the fire and all that. And I said, "You know what I think I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to get some skewers, I'm going to get some marshmallows, and I'm going to hand them out, one to each person. And then I'm going to say sometime during the service, 'Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Put that marshmallow on top of your head. Look at it. It's still white.'" You know? In the Spirit. Make it like a marshmallow, like for a s'more. Give me some more of you, Holy Spirit. Amen. But, you know, what an evidence to find out. You'll find out if you got the fire of the Holy Spirit in you. Take that marshmallow. If it's still white, put it back up there, man. "Father, send down the Holy Spirit upon me. Fill me again. Hallelujah." And the fire, of course, is used to burn up chaff and things. Fire is used to bring purity upon us, you know, refiner's fire. So, fire of the wind. Hallelujah. So he counsels us, and he's our strengthener. We need strength throughout the day. He's our standby. He's our advocate. An advocate is one that pleads your case. Jesus is there at the right hand of God the Father. He's pleading us. The Holy Spirit is there with us, and all this is just being moved up the chain to God, the ultimate. And Jesus is there interceding. He's my intercessor there. I intercess for you folks when we know someone is going through a prayer a time in their life, no matter what it is. On Tuesday night, our prayer time, that's an interceding time when we find out so-and-so's got a relative and they're going through this. Let's lift them up. We intercede as a body to lift that need up to God, as the church should do. The times that we're in now in our society, oh, our prayers, I tell you what, it's more and more praying for civility and calmness upon our nation. It's interceding for this nation. And God is there. And God will release the power of his Spirit upon us. And I'm going to continue to stand and pray for civility and peace. I'm going to pray for those that are of lies and dissensions and lawlessness and creating havoc. Let them be exposed. Let them be removed. Lord, I don't know how you want to remove them. I leave that up to you. I don't care if you want to zap them with a bolt of lightning. I don't care, Lord. It's up to you. But I'm interceding for my nation. I'm interceding for my state, my city, whatever the case. I intercede for my family. I intercede for my grandkids. I intercede for my kids by prayer. Lord, this and this. As a Christian, as we are in this life, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is always something to pray. There is always some need to lift up. There is so much all the time. And I don't think you need to go to the altar in your house every day and kneel there. You're going through life. You're driving down the street. You intercede. You're driving at a stoplight and you stop. You begin to pray for a family member. You get stopped by a train. You pray for the state. You get stopped by whatever. You just turn that into a time of, oh, Father, all of a sudden in my spirit I feel this name, boom, pops into your spirit. I don't know what's going on, Lord. I just pray and I lift up, you know, Bob to you right now. That's all I need to do. I don't need to know what Bob's going through. I just need to know that I heard it in my spirit, the name Bob. I know a Bob. I'm going to lift up Bob. I'm going to intercede for him like that of the Spirit intercedes for me. So in our natural life, we like all of these things. We like somebody that's there to comfort us. You know, comfort me, comfort me. The Holy Spirit is there for that. We're going to move on with He prays for us. Remember I talked about that. Romans 8:27. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people. You know, and in the Amplified, it calls us saints, upon the saints. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Yeah, hallelujah. You're here at church today. Saints, we'll call you saints. Before God, on behalf of God's saints or God's people, in accordance with your will. Probably not. I think your Bible might say God's will. Yeah. Well, is that some foreign country printed over there? They're putting these little words in there and we're not catching them. But in accordance with God's will, one accord with God, in His accord, one accord. If you want the power, if you want the power they had at Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. On Pentecost. We have that power today, guys. We have that power. Don't go out discouraged. Like that one song we sang about revive us and to rebuild us as we go out. Don't go out with a defeated spirit. Don't go out with a defeated attitude. You go out powered up, pumped up in strength, boldness with that of the Spirit of God, because that's who we are, child of God. We're saints of God. We're ambassadors of God. We are serving this place here, but we are of another kingdom, a much better kingdom. But we are here for this time to intercede for these people. And I'm going to tell you again and again and again, I've shared this with people and I talk to people and all this. I'm going to tell you, Janesville is blessed because Tim lives here. Janesville is blessed because you live here. As saints of God, as children of God, as serving Him as in His kingdom, He is going to bless me. He's going to protect me. And I'm just thanking Him for that. And if the ripples of blessings go out, if blessings of protection, whatever the case is, this nation needs followers of Christ. I kind of use it carefully at Christians, because a lot of times people think Christian is this, and it's not. A follower of Christ, but we call ourselves Christian. But this nation, any nation, they need children of God living in that place to have the blessings of God to be bestowed upon that place, or to have God's protection. Now you look around and you're going, well, where's all the protection with all this uprising in our cities? Yes, evil does exist. Evil is rearing its head. Evil is active. Evil is real. So many times in our society, people don't even believe there's a devil. They don't think there's an evilness out there. They just think it's a free-for-all and it's just me. Well, when people say it's me, myself, and I, they're of the devil. Because that's what the devil wants to tell you. No, I'm Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in me, so there's three of me. But the evil works in the people, and he's distorting the truth. He's seared their minds. But we are a nation that is blessed because of the blessings of God upon this nation, because the nation was founded upon spiritual things or the holiness of God. And there's an entity out there, or someone out there that wants to take that away from us and our Christian values, the godly morals, the things that we have developed this country on. And they are doing some succeeding in that, but there's going to be the finality of things, because God does not lose any battle. God has never lost a battle that he even allowed to start to bring sense to the people. He didn't want that to happen, but you people deserve it. Okay. Goes back to the very, very, very beginning. The children of Israel, they wanted a king. They wanted somebody to control them. And God didn't start out that way. And he said, okay, if you want that, here's your king. Good kings and bad kings. Go through the Old Testament, where those that put their thumb on the people, that's what you wanted. God said, I wasn't in my plan, but you have a free will. And I'm a God that's not a tyrant. I'm a God that doesn't mandate and make you follow me. I'm a God that doesn't make you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. I'm a God that does not force you to receive the Holy Spirit. These are all things that I freely give, freely ask. But if you're out there asking for evil, here you go. You can have it. But I'm not part of it. And so we got to be cautious and be aware of what takes place in a nation. Ours or any other nation around the world. Just pay attention to the news. The civil unrest. The disobedience. The moral decay. The lawlessness. We read in his scriptures that these are what? Signs of what? The end times. So we are on this plateau. We're on this path. We're on this trajectory that everything that God says is going to happen. And now they have had evil times. They have had lawlessness from the very beginning, guys. So don't get upset thinking like, oh, the end times are right now because look at what's all going around. They had lawlessness 100 years ago, 300 years ago, 100,000 years. The beginning of Jesus, they had lawlessness. Why do you think those thieves were up on the cross? They were lawlessness during that time, and they got caught. So don't let the enemy put such a fear in you, because fear comes from that of the enemy, not that of God. Love, joy, strength, peace comes by that of God through that of the Holy Spirit. Meekness comes by that of the Holy Spirit, but that's meekness, that's power under control. We're a very meek people, but we're a very powerful people because we are controlled by, not myself, but I'm controlled by a higher power that he uses that through that of the Holy Spirit into us to complete or to do what he's asked us to do, what he wants done. What he wants done, he wants you to accomplish for him. Amen. He works through us. The devil works through people. God works through people. We find that it's this warring back and forth. And we got to understand that the warring is, we see it in our natural eyes. We see flesh. But you know, when I see these demonstrations and these riots, I see it's a spiritual realm. It's a spirit of evilness out there. It's a spirit of evil just manifesting itself into that mob, and that mob mentality. But those that are children of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, we see it differently. We begin to pray differently. We begin to pray in the spiritual realm. We begin to pray that, Lord, by that of the Spirit, it's a battle in the spiritual realm. We come against that. As we come against that in the spiritual realm and things begin to change, hallelujah, we have to change what? The atmosphere. There's a terrible atmosphere over our nation. The virus. Go think of it. We just are starting to come out of that. And then we get into this mess. And there's more upheaval. And we're seeing more of this. And it's just hoping to keep us all just like, you know. But we got to keep our joy. We got to keep our joy. Because once the enemy takes your joy, doom and gloom is there. And that's not ridiculous joy. As I talk to people when they're, it's like, you know, I speak of faith. I speak of an understanding the powers, life and death is in my tongue. You speak things into existence or whatever the case might be. Your words do form your life. If you ever were told as a child growing up you would amount to nothing, chances are probably at this point or early on in your life, you probably believe that, and you guess what? You accomplish that. You said, my parents, whoever, my boss, whoever, whatever the case might be, somebody put that into your hearing, your spirit, your heart, said, you will never account or amount to anything. And sure enough, that person received that, and it kept them down for many years of their life until they got released by that of the power of God. They got released by that of the message saying that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Are you, really? I was always told that they didn't know why I was even born, because I'm useless. How the devil likes to destroy a life. How the devil likes to use the words to tear down someone. And once that happens, it's just a downhill spiral. They begin to believe it. They begin to live it. They begin to show it. But then we come to share the good news. We come to share that of what God has for them. But I don't do it under my own power, because it's the day of Pentecost. And it's the Pentecost of way back. It's because of now of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives that we come and we share the message. Before you begin to talk the things of God to a person, always lift them up, or always open them up first by in your spirit to pray, Lord, Lord, prayer. I pray you would prepare their spirit to hear your spirit. Begin to open up that hardened heart. Begin to open up that seared mind that the God of this world has done. And I know you can do it, God, because nothing is impossible with you. And you want that person saved as much as I want them saved. You want that person in your kingdom as much as I would love them in your kingdom. And so, Lord, prepare their heart and their mind for what you want me to share to them. And then begin to do what the Spirit leads you to do. Amen. Turn it over to God, what you think God wants you to do, and then ask God to move through you to accomplish what He wants, to be a willing vessel. Be obedient. Just be listening. And even if it's crazy, just be listening, or whatever the case might be. But the spiritual realm that we're battling, that is that of the Holy Spirit as well that comes in, and the evil spirit that's there. And it's hard to kind of figure these things out sometimes. And there is such a dissension taking place. But in my prayers last night, throughout the night, and as I watched different things or was aware of different things, I just prayed, Lord, for your spirit to come against the spirit of evil right now. I didn't pray, I pray for that man or that woman wearing that mask on that corner. Pray for them right now. No, I pray in the heavenlies, Lord, bring forth your calming spirit right now and drive out lawlessness. For you are God. You are mighty. Nothing is too difficult for you. The power of the Holy Spirit, go forth. Power of the Holy Spirit is correlated in Scripture as like that of the what? We are told we have power. It's not just like poof power. It's like a megatron bomb. It's power. It's dunamis. That's how we get the word dynamite. Dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. So when we go to these things and we pray today and we pray for our cities and things like that, I pray, yes, protection. Bring a spirit of protection, Lord. Because see, it's all in the spirit. We bring the spirit of God into that situation and things begin to change. If I just prayed man's spirit into the things, nothing will change. It'll be this. But I step back and I say, Lord, bring forth your spirit in the heavenlies and touch these people now. Change their hearts. Change their mind. Or move them out of the way, Lord. But I don't want them to destroy my country. This country that was founded upon morals and values and of you, God. My country needs me because I need to stay in this country because I'm praying for this country. You don't realize, they say prayer is more powerful than any of the military. Prayer is more powerful than any number of bombs that can be dropped on a facility or whatever. There is so much power in prayer, but we look at it as not so much power because at times we don't see it happen right away. But we've got to pray those things by faith. We've got to believe these things are being accomplished. We've got to see these things by the Spirit. And we've got to wait upon the Lord to have that time with those things. Amen? And all I ask is that God, you get the glory. That God, things will change for the good. And that God, we praise you. Let my joy be full. Hallelujah. Okay. Now we talked about, I don't know, did I say about prayer, Romans 8:27? Yes. Very important. Now how about how the Holy Spirit helps us? You know, it's not to always have our finger pointed at us and it's me. But if we look at it in the right way of God, God is concerned for Tim. I don't know about you, but I take it personal. Because you know why? I said, hey, if you guys were all saints or whatever and I was the only sinner on this earth, Jesus would have died just for me. He didn't die to say, well, I will only hang my son on the cross if 5 million people receive him. It was like, you know, he died for one, me. He convicts us of our sin. In John 16:7-11, there's a lot to read there, but it goes on to say, but in fact, it is best for you that I go, Jesus says. It's best that I go, because if I don't, the Advocate, he won't come. And if I go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness. He will convict them of the sin of the world, but he's going to give them the way to get out of it. It's not my righteousness, it is his righteousness. My righteousness, what does the word say? My righteousness is nothing but like that of filthy rags. Anybody had filthy rags on? Doesn't look too pretty, does it? Been out gardening, down in the dirt, doing something, working, and you look at your clothes and you're like, oh my God, what a mess. That's your life in the spirit. It's like, oh my gosh. But his righteousness comes in and it comes to me and it's his righteousness in me. And of coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. That's the sin. That's one of those things we talk about, the unpardonable sin. It's one of these things that part of that puzzle that I've tried to figure out, because we always hear about the unpardonable sin. And there's some studies or books or people put this out there, is that if you do not believe that Jesus died for your sin, if you do not believe that God sent him to die for you, that is an unpardonable sin because you're denying the power of God. We talk about that through that of the Holy Spirit, denying of the Spirit. I think it's anything that we deny that is that of God. You know, if somebody is touched by the Holy Spirit, and didn't they say that in the Testaments about, well, that's a spirit of the devil. What? The devil's going to heal himself or whatever? He's of sickness. He's of this. No. But when we begin to say, oh, this or this or this against the power, against God, against Jesus, against the Holy Spirit, and we know better than that, but we have that distortion all of a sudden that we say it's not that of God. We begin to see that unpardonable sin. It's like, you're denying the power of God? You're denying? It's amazed how some people feel like their sin is so monumental that Jesus could not cleanse them of their sin. The very Son of God. The very God in flesh, the creator of us all, that we could stand and boast that my sin is so bad that even God who created me cannot cleanse me. But the enemy has seared your mind and your heart, and you're following that thought process. But here it is. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and judgment will come because the ruler of the world has already been judged. He gives us that new life. In the New Century Version in John 3:5-6, Jesus answered them and says, I tell you the truth, unless you are born from the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. We have a lot of disagreements with that with people, don't we? Well, I'm a good person. I'm going to go into his kingdom. I've not done anything bad or as bad as that person. I'm going to go in. No, no, no. If you are not born from the water and the Spirit, receiving Jesus Christ, you cannot enter God's kingdom. Here's what it talks about in the New Century Version in verse 6. Human life comes from human parents. As I look out here today, I think I could say, I bet you guys all had human parents. But spiritual life comes from the Spirit. That's why there's such a battle at times that people don't know which way to go, and churches have sometimes, they don't want to touch upon the Spirit because it's, a lot of times it's because they don't understand it. It's something that you don't see. Well, we didn't see Jesus, we just by faith. But it's something that is working that they don't have a clarity of. And so they want to stay away from it. And that's what the enemy likes. The enemy loves people to deny that the Holy Spirit is not for today. Healing is not for today. You know, all of this stuff is not for today. But Jesus said it's going to go on and greater things you're going to do than I. So here again, that's almost like a blasphemy type thing. I think of it that way, that you're denying those powers that Jesus had and what he said it would be done. And Titus 3:4-5. But when the goodness and the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared in human form, that being of Jesus, he saved us not because of any works of our righteousness that we've done, but because of his own compassion and mercy by cleansing of the new birth, that spiritual transformation, that regeneration. Isn't it great to be regenerated? And that's what the birth is. We had a spiritual transformation. That's why when the evil came into the garden, what happened is the spirit at that time in man was alive, but when evil came in, pretty soon that spirit was dead. It was darkened because of the evil. Jesus came into the world, so when we receive him as the Lord and Savior and that spirit comes into us, it's a renewal of our spirit. Our spirit is, that's why it's called a rebirth, reborn. Wasn't Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? They were thinking natural. And today people do the same thing. They think of the things of God in the natural sense, and it's not a natural thing, but the natural is the evidence of it, I guess. You know, that there is a God, creator. He knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. But now when we get into the areas of being reborn again, he's talking about the spirit of the man needs to be reborn again, to be reconnected to me, to be connected to God's spirit, because man's spirit was darkened by the sin in the garden, but I have made a way through that of Jesus Christ to come and to cleanse and wash your sins away, to be rebirthed, the spirit, to be in harmony and unity with the Holy Spirit and God. Now we have this relationship again. Before we were just out, lost, being led astray, going by the ways of the world. But Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus ascended, the Holy Spirit came. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are born again into a new time. For some of us that waited until maybe really truly being born again until you're like 30, you know, now if you're 60, I'm only like 30 years old. You know, I like it when I hear people that have said, I received Christ when I was 52 years old, and I'm now, you know, 65, so I'm like 15 years old. I go, wow. But we're looking at it like, well, really, I came back and I was born into his spirit, and my spirit became alive. Hallelujah. He gives us power to witness. Here, we talked about that earlier. See, how are we going to witness? You know, some churches take this mandate. We're going to go share the gospel. We're going to declare that. We're going to say, turn or burn, repent, blah, blah, blah. We got a lot of that on the street corners, and a lot of people hear that. And if that's the way, some people are saved that way, so you can't discount that, okay? Because there's some people in the Bible that were going about doing things, and they weren't really followers of Christ. And his disciples came back, and they were kind of like, if I remember the story, I haven't memorized it, but I remember reading something about this, right? I remember reading it where his disciples came back and said, how can these people be doing those things? Take care of them, Jesus. And Jesus says, why should I do something that they're saying that is true? Yeah, they may not be following me, but what they say is truth. So, wow, the power to witness. But you will receive power and the ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness. You don't need to be the witness of the church you attend. You just need to be the witness of the God you serve. And to tell the people about me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. That's all you need to do is tell them about me. Well, they don't receive it. Dust off the feet, kick off the dirt, move on. Don't spend a lot of time. If they deny it, they fight you on it. Don't think, well, I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to make these sinners believe. If they don't freely receive it, you've shared the news, the message, the love, the compassion, and they doubt it, or they say there's nothing good for you that can come from you because I know where you're from. You'll find your family and friends that knew you back before Christ was in your life, they're the hardest ones because they go, oh my, yeah, right, I knew you back when you were this. There's no way. You're crazy. But I think when we go into this witnessing and all, and if people don't receive it, I've done what I could do. Okay, I'll go over here. Begin to share over here. If somebody receives it, hallelujah. But that's those things of being led to witness and let the Holy Spirit lead you in those areas. Luke 12:11-12, it says, when they bring you before the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not be worried about how you are going to defend yourself or what you're going to say. Verse 12 is the power of it. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that what? Very hour what you ought to say. That very hour when you're supposed to speak, something will come out of you that's supposed to come out that will cover that situation. Now, I'm not going to read this, but you can follow this for finding the truth, okay? John 4:1-6. You can look that up later because I want to go ahead and end with this. In Romans 14:16-17, he gives us joy and peace. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. For this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. So, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. Whatever the world gives you, they will take back. But what God gives you, the world can't take it from you. Because your Heavenly Father loves you. Your Heavenly Father sends His power and His presence through that of the Holy Spirit to you. Romans 14:16-17 is the verse. Therefore, do not let what is good, let's see. Therefore, do not let what is a good thing for you be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it is of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't have a lot of joy and peace in our churches. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have it. It says it right here. It's in the Holy Spirit. Now, hopefully they've got the Spirit, but they're not letting it flow like it should. And we don't want to get crazy and wacky with it and go, unless the Spirit wants us, you know, they talk about the new wine. They talk about getting drunk in the Spirit. They talk about all these things, that the joy and the things. And for us that have been at this church long enough, we have seen all of those particular aspects of the joy of the Lord. Drinking in the Holy Ghost. Things like that. There was people at times back in the days laying on the floor, just laid out by the Spirit of God. Fall. Laughter. People just fall in their chairs and just like go out. The power of the Holy Spirit, like cloven tongues of fire, like that of the mighty rushing wind. You do not know where it comes, you do not know where it goes, that power, that wind. So we've seen that here at Harvester's Church, back when it was Believer's Faith, and that was some great times. It was a time to help me learn. Now, it's not flowing that way in the last several many years or the last 15 years or 20 years now. But it was for a time and a season, and it may come back again. Or God has gone on to do other things. I think what God has gone on to do is I think we are still see evidences of the power of the Spirit flowing and things happening and revivals, but it's not like it used to be. But I think it's a time that the Lord is lining up His churches to be His churches, to be solid with Him, to be strong with Him for when things begin to shake on this earth of the natural things, of things that we see taking place, that to be strong. To stand strong by that of the Spirit of God in us, by that of the Holy Spirit in us, by the God we serve telling us and sharing with us and dropping in and downloading information, downloading wisdom, downloading prepare for this, downloading whatever it is. You know, we can live through this situation with our health. We can live through the situation that's taking place now. All we've got to do is have the mind of Christ. Be listening to Him and do what He's asked you to do. And He'll prepare you maybe differently than me. Or He might prepare us all similar and we go, you know, I felt the Lord say this to me, did it, and I did this. And you go, you come to church, you go, wow, I felt the same thing and we did that too. He's wanting to speak to His people, His church. He's speaking, I am His church. And He's speaking these things into us. And if we're not hooked up to the Holy Spirit to allow that to flow, we're missing something. And it's freely there to receive. It's freely given, freely receive, because God wants to speak to you more than you ever know, to prepare you for the times that we're in, to prepare you for the times that are coming, and just to have communion with you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for this day. And again, I thank You for that of the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord, that on our calendar time of this day, it's noted as Pentecost Sunday. The power from heaven fell upon the people. The power back then is the power of today. Father, I continually pray, continually ask, and we will receive the power that You continually drop upon us individually, the power that You put within us corporately. But whatever it is, it's Your power to fulfill Your call upon our lives personally and our call upon this church corporately to honor and glorify You. And we do thank You for that now. We thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Jesus, for saying that I must go so that He can come and ascend it to You on the right-hand side. And He says, send the Holy Spirit now. Lead them and guide them and teach them. Oh, hallelujah for the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we do pray as well for the battle taking place, again, in the spiritual realm above our country, above our cities, in our states. Oh, I know, Lord, in the natural, the things that we see, it looks like it's ramping up and it's out of control. And it is out of control. But Lord, I pray to You to control it. I pray for You and the Spirit to release whatever it is, Lord, that You would release from heaven to battle the spiritual evil that's taking place upon the lives of these people that are being a puppet of the devil. We bind it. We bind it in Jesus' name. Father, and I pray You release that which is in heaven that You have prepared for our nation, for our state, for our city, Lord. I pray, Lord, that You will release it now upon our land. But Lord, we can come to You and ask for forgiveness and ask You, Father God, to heal our land, heal our lives, heal my family, heal the things, Lord, that are out of order in my life. Reveal that to me, Lord, of what I am to do to help or to be a part of that solution. But ultimately, Lord, You are of the solution that needs to be there, Lord, for Your love. I pray for joy to be upon each and every one of our hearts right now today. Ooh, hallelujah. Let the joy of the Lord be my strength. As we go out today, Lord, and the days ahead, I pray for the joy of the Lord to ever be so evident upon us and with us. Thank You, Father.